Hello and welcome to Spin is a Four-Letter Word. I'm Jen Renahan, Maroon PR COO, and I am joined today by Eric Hammond, one of our account directors here at Maroon PR. Unfortunately, John Maroon could not host this one today, which is very disappointing because he's normally in this seat. But our podcast is about all things public relations, marketing, relationship building, and we also talk a lot to media professionals. And we are very, very excited to be joined by Brent Harris and Kristen Bursette, two longtime media professionals who also happen to be married, which brings a whole other level of conversation that we are excited to dive into. So thank you guys for joining us today. We would love to start to just, maybe Kristen, if you just want to start and give us a little bit of background on your experience and how you've gotten to where you are today.
Sure, yeah. I am currently the host of Great Day Washington on WSA9 in Washington, D.C. So we're a morning lifestyle show. So doing all, you know, from food to self-help to music, a little bit of everything. So it's a fun show. I got my start in sports, though. I actually used to host a fishing show in Florida. And then that brought me up to Baltimore, where I was a sports anchor, to D.C., and then I transitioned out of sports to do lifestyle. But sports is where I met my husband, and we still have a passion for it. But it's been an interesting road, but now I've been in the nation's capital for almost 13 years.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And Brent?
So the self-help stuff helps because she brings that home now, which when we're both in sports.
Mom's learning something.
Yeah, we could talk stats and games, but that now we kind of we have expanded the relationship, I think, because of the change. I'm born and raised Baltimore, and I've been fortunate. All my jobs have been in Maryland. So I worked in Hagerstown and Salisbury. Then I got the job at Fox 45 and then eventually Comcast Sportsnet, which was NBC. Yeah. Covering Baltimore sports, which has been pretty awesome for somebody that's, you know, obviously born and raised here. So my journey's been pretty incredible in that I've been able to cover the teams that I grew up cheering for, the teams that I love. Obviously, the Ravens weren't here when I was younger. It was the Colts, but eventually they got here, and then you fall in love with that too. So I've just had a pretty fortunate ride.
Great. And we've, at Maroon PR, you know, I've had great relationships with the both of you separately, even well before you were, you know, married, back from the Comcast Sportsnet days.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I go back to Fox 45, and obviously John was there with the Orioles, and I think back to 2131 and all the times that we've worked together. I mean, you know, we're all here in this city, so, you know, we've had a lot of fun times.
And I believe you and Eric.
Yeah, we talk about relationships, right? Brent and I have known each other for 26 years. Is that possible? I think that's so. We worked together. We worked together back at in Salisbury at WMDT. Yep. You were in sports. I was in the studio at the time, and then fast forward to all these years later, working together, and you at WBL Radio, and covering clients and covering a lot of the events that we have, and Kristen and covering a lot of things with some of our clients as well, out to even Charlestown, West Virginia. So another, we're in the Barstool Sportsbook restaurant here in Hollywood, Perryville right now. So that's a sister property of theirs. But so we talked about how we've known each other for so long and just maintaining those relationships over time. And in media is a small world. It doesn't seem like it, but we all know it is, right? How important is that to you know, keep these strong bridges instead of burning bridges over time?
For somebody that's worked in Florida, worked in Maryland, worked in D.C., and, you know, you go come from that first job, and then everybody spreads out. And so you happen to know somebody in every market, or somebody knows something. So whether you're looking for a job or looking to get into a story, it's really important to keep those relationships and be professional with everything. The nice thing, too, is with social media, there are groups, especially there's a group of news women, and every now and then it'll be like, hey, is there anybody in Denver? I have this great story. And then they'll find somebody in Denver that will want to report on it. So that happens quite a bit where, thanks to social media, it's like, this will be a really great story. So-and-so is doing this, or this mom needs help.
Love that.
And so we continue to help each other build those stories. That's what we're in this business for, is to build story or tell stories, help build up the community, support the community, and then support each other at the same time.
So you two are pretty unique. I know you started in Florida, but you've been here for a long time, in that you really have established your careers here in this region, and you don't see that a lot, you know, like you mentioned, where you start somewhere and then everyone spreads across the country and then, you know, lands.
Right,
So was that by design? Were you guys, like, interested personally, like, of staying in one area?
Or yeah, I didn't want to go to Fargo.
Yeah.
That was an option, and I said no. I think I'm more, I got lucky to be here. You kind of took a different path, but, I love that I have been in this one place, and I think Derek's point, burning bridges, or just, you know, the way you treat relationships when mm-hmm. you're in one place for 30 years, that's important. And there's a lot of people that started out with, like Eric and I, at a small station in Salisbury, yeah. Yeah. to the point now where we're further along in our career, but we work with the same people yeah. in yes. this town, we call Smaltimore sometimes, over and over again, and those relationships have been great.
Yeah, and I started in Panama City Beach, Florida, so I got a good first market. I was starting on the beach.
Yeah, right.
And then transitioned from news to sports, which is what brought me to Baltimore and then D.C. But it's just being able to cover those stories. And, like, with the three of us, we saw you at a Ravens game, and we right. kind of reconnected, and yeah. now we've been able to work together again. But it's just nice to run into people like right. that, right? And just be like, oh, yes, how you been? And then all those good, fond memories come back, and then you realize you can build up that relationship again and help each other out in the industry.
Yeah, and I do think, too, because when we reconnected, again, the relationship part of it, you could easily go, you know what, that person's difficult to work with,
yes.
right? But instead you go, I've always enjoyed working with that person,
right.
and if something comes up, you never know who you might work with down the road, and it could be 10 years or 20 years. So I do think those things are pretty important. And I think over, at least for me, that a lot of the jobs I've gotten have been because of relationships,
right.
to be honest. And I think it does, that's a lesson, I think, even outside of our industry, that you know, it's not hard, doesn't cost anything to be nice to people and just be a good person. And I think it goes a long way.
When I deal with PR people on a daily basis, yeah. multiple times to get guests on my show, and you know, we're a small team of five, but we each have built our own relationships with PR people. Mm-hmm. So somebody will kind of pitch all of us something, and then we know who's going to take care of that. You know, I work with you and do all the stories
right.
with you. You build those relationships that way, but also, from my perspective, somebody that's well organized, well communicative, not pushy, you know?
It's a fine line.
Yeah. And I get that. And we're on a deadline, you're on a deadline, things happen, things yeah. change. But we start to also build those relationships too, where if I'm in a bind, I can call Eric
right.
up and be like, hey, do you have somebody that can come on and do this? You know, we had a guest cancel. I know we had talked about this, but we've got a space. And
yeah.
if you can make it work, you make it work.
And that is something that John Maroon has instilled in staff and in this company since day one, whereas mm-hmm. like we're not, our philosophy to media is that we're not pushy. We have stories and clients that we need to serve, but if it's not a story, it's not a story, and we try and move on. And the relationship aspect of that is super important, because you know, we value media just as much as we value our clients,
mm-hmm.
And know that it's a two-way street. And so that's really nice to hear that, you know, that's valued on your side.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
By the way, it also for us comes full, so you talk about Maroon, and you've been there forever, right? We've worked together on a lot of projects. My best man at my wedding worked at Maroon
yeah.
PR.
Oh, that's right.
As
Mark,
a photographer,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Though again, those relationships, and that he really connected with John over the years, and you know, he knew he's a good guy, but did great work, and those
yeah.
things down the road can pay off for
Mark
sure.
Mark is really the one reason why we have all of this
that's
side
it.
Of the business. Right?
He helped purchase all the
always head up. I am sure.
That, yeah. in that
that's
space
right.
But, with us, yeah.
but you guys have had the same people working there, which says a lot for a long time.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And one of your good friends, our buddy Rob Carlin, that we worked with at WMDT as well.
Yeah.
He is married to Megan Pringle, who
also worked
at Maroon PR and works in media as well. It's like we said, it's Maltimore.
It's
you said
the bacon, 6 degrees of separation.
Right, exactly.
Guy,
yes,
like
the Maroon.
Degrees,
yeah,
right?
yeah. I think it's really interesting with you two, which one of the reasons we wanted to have you guys on. You know, we love you guys, but also that you are this married couple and you work in separate markets, both major markets, but separate markets. You have kids together. That's a lot to juggle. So this podcast is listened to and watched by PR professionals, but people who are parents, people who, you know, are spouses. How do you juggle that being in two different towns? Obviously, Kristen, you have the longer drive, right? Oh, this was pretty short
yeah.
for you. Yeah.
Nice.
And trying to spend time with each other, quality time, trying to be present with each other, trying to be present with your kids. And how do you deal with that?
Well, the benefit at first was we both understand that our schedules are crazy. Yeah. You know, Brent would be gone. You know, I was in D.C. covering sports, so I was covering different teams than he was. But he would be gone on a West Coast trip with the Ravens for a week or so. Right. He'd be gone on Christmas in Cleveland for a Browns-Ravens game. But we also just kind of understand that with each other. We get, when we were in sports, it's a weekend job. Right, and you never know. There's breaking news sometimes that you have to run up to Owings Mills, or I have to run out to Ashburn to cover the Commanders. But I think, you know, we have that understanding to begin with. But then once we got together and we're kind of navigating this world, it just came down to communication. And our kids were younger at the time. You know, they weren't even teenagers when his kids. I'm a stepmom, and they weren't even teenagers when we started dating. So it as with anything, it takes some time. There were some disagreements or arguments about it, but we have kind of figured it out over the time of like, all right, this is what this child has this day. I'm free. I can take it. Can you come home from D.C. and get here in time? Because I have to get to the radio station. Mm. It took a few years for us to kind of figure it out with my job changing a little bit, but it was a matter of just communicating, keeping the calendar together, and just understanding where each of us and how much each of us can do. Also, it's not putting everything on one person.
Good point.
You know, unfortunately for Brent, he did have to shoulder more of it because I was working in D.C. and I couldn't get home in 30 minutes. It was going to take me 2 hours to get home.
Right.
So we figure that out, and it can be frustrating, but at the same time, it's like, all right, I'm coming home today. We're going to dinner after this with our girls. You know, we find the time to do those things together. Mm-hmm. Because I work Monday through Friday. Brent works mostly on weekends at this point, and then sporadically during the week. So at this point, we're just kind of putting it in the calendar and communicating. That's the big thing.
Calendar, by the way. Yeah. So when we first started, like...
He's a calendar guy.
You put it in the calendar, and then we all know what we're doing.
Yeah. Right.
And then you make the time. As I think you said, you make the time. Yeah. And I will say, because of our professions, it took us about 2 months to get our first date. So we started talking.
It was in the middle of March Madness.
Right, like maybe January.
Yeah, oh, wow.
And, you know, unlike I think probably kids today, we actually picked the phone up and we had long conversations on the phone.
Yeah.
But it took through March Madness and having to follow through work, and we both were traveling a ton before we had our first date. But by the time we had our first date, it was like, I already know you pretty well, right? We had a lot of great conversations. And so in some ways it was kind of old school in that way. But again, our jobs definitely got in the way of trying to make some time and see if we could, get together even for our first date. So,
how do you guys, I mean, even as PR professionals and just in today's society, you struggle with this, but how do you find the time to just shut things off when it comes to work and being on social media and finding stories? I know you guys aren't necessarily in the breaking news world, but you still have to be on your game and looking for things to talk about and following what's up to date. So how do you guys juggle
that? I've had to learn to do it.
Yeah,
you do.
It's taken a few years, and I've taken a little bit of a step back, especially social media, for sure. I think for Kristen, it's a little tougher just because of the social media part of her job is really big and what they do, and they spend a lot of time doing it. The other day I played golf and I didn't pick up my phone for like 3 or 4 hours. And at the end of it, I was like, I don't really miss it. Right. I didn't even really, the only thing I wanted to do is send you some pictures and say I had a great day. Outside of that, I didn't need to get on Twitter or Instagram or anything else. And I think you have to make an effort to do it. It's tough.
We have breaking news going on right in front of us. I think for all of us, you turn on the radio, turn on TV, it's always something. And Brent knows with me, like, I need a moment to just calm down.
Yeah.
So if I am commuting home or even on the weekend, the way my brain works, I like games. I play crosswords and all that. That's my way of shutting down. Yeah, so Brent knows if I have my iPad out, I'm in game mode, leave me alone for like 30 minutes. And then I'm good to go.
Yeah. Mm.
You know,
that's what I'm making dinner.
Exactly. That's why he's a chef. Yeah, I'm playing, routine. He's working, he's making dinner. But with the nice thing too, in the sports world, you can't always shut it off, but we get to do what we love to do, which is watch a Ravens game, watch an Orioles game, watch a golf match. Like, that is still kind of a way to shut down, you know, because it's something we enjoy.
Right.
If you're into politics and you love watching that, and that you can kind of still shut down, even though you are still absorbing and doing work in that regard. But we're able to watch the games together now and enjoy the company that way. So you're kind of working, but we're still having fun at the same time.
Yeah, and I think as we've kind of been in it as long as we have, you learn to say no to the things that aren't as important.
Smart.
And make sure you prioritize the things that are important. And the things that are important still become family first, and work is still in there. Obviously, in our business, it has to be a high priority, but at the same time, it's not the priority, and I think that's the difference.
And I think it's hard with news folks because we're naturally curious people.
Right.
So we want to know what's going on. We don't want to miss out on something. So, you know, you get the news alerts. It can make it a little difficult. But in that way, we can control what we're consuming. So it's not like a story is forced on us or a topic is forced on us. You can read about the golf tournament or about the Orioles game last night. I can look and see what the latest pop culture news is. So, you know, you find what your passion is, and that way it's not necessarily work all the time.
Nobody's more curious than she is. And so that's why Google was invented.
Anytime
there's a question that comes up, you can't wait to find out what it is. It's going to be Google that we're going to find
the
it out.
The kids will ask things and then let me pop out the Google
right,
machine.
Got it. I'm on top of it.
I love to learn.
So
things.
Curious. Yeah.
Also, Kristen, with you, you're about to go through a change in your show. Your co-host is about to go maternity leave, when we're recording this, at least. So you've built a great relationship with Ellen and a great rapport with Ellen. So for a few months, you won't have her there, and you'll have to create that with whoever it will be named later. How will that work? You know, how are you? I know you're in the depths of that right now. And have you had to deal with that in the past? You know, in a lifestyle show, it's very, very different. Yeah. Or even when you do color commentary or calling a game, it's very different when you switch who you're beside all of the time. Right. How do you change that relationship? How do you manage that?
Well, I'm grateful in that I get a say in who fills her spot for the time being. And actually, Ellen and I were talking about this just this week because she and I have a lot in common. But I can accidentally step on her words, and she's not upset. Right. And vice versa. But I also know she's going to be there if I just have a, you know, total brain lapse.
You guys have, like, mind meld.
We really do.
Yeah.
But the nice thing, too, about bringing somebody in is you learn from them as well. Ellen had gone out maternity leave before, and so I had another co-host who was totally different than I was. And I learned a lot from him. I learned to loosen up. I learned to have fun. And I was able to bring some of that in. It's also a thing of... It's a little different when it's play-by-play and you're going from game to game. But with my show, now it's kind of like, all right, I'm kind of not in charge, but I am. Like, I'm helping them along. So it gives me a different sense of responsibility and a different excitement at the same time. Thankfully, I get to meet some of the people and see who I have a connection with. But I think it's always just about learning from that person. They're bringing something totally different. A lot of them have a radio background, which is different, but can translate well in a lifestyle show. So it's like there's a little trepidation, of course, because you don't like to change out that routine. But then it can be exciting at the same time.
Yeah, I think, too. I mean, even in your business, like, you have to get to know the people you work with, what they're really good at, what their quirks are, the things you can lean on them for. And for me, like, you know, doing play-by-play, there's some people that I work with, like a John Feinstein, who just tells stories, and you have to step back and just let it breathe and let him tell his stories about a referee he saw back in, you know, the late 80s doing a game or some story about a player. And then you have somebody that might be a former player, a former coach that looks at the game differently, and you have to set him up and you start to just learn, right? Like what that person does well.
Yeah.
And it's your job to make them better. And that's what I always kind of try to think about is my job being there is to make that person look good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it might be a cliche, but it's a team effort.
It is.
Yeah. You know, you have
cliche
to understand.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's true.
You have to understand that this is a partnership that you're going into, a new relationship that you're building. So even though you may have more of the experience or see it a certain way, to his point, you have to realize that they're bringing something special as well. And that's only going to make the production, the video, the story even better.
Switching gears just a little bit, back to social media, we mentioned it earlier. So obviously, you know, Kristen, in your role, embracing social media is part of it, right? And
it is.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to embrace it.
It is sometimes.
I'm at that point where, you know, bosses are like, you need to post more.
Yeah,
my brain is fried after 6 live interviews in an hour, but I still understand the importance of it. Yeah.
And from our perspective, you know, and this working with you, Brent, you know, social and content and this whole content world has opened up a lot of opportunities with media professionals to hire you outside of your outside of your role. You did a great series with us at the Barstool in Charlestown. Can you talk a little bit about how maybe media's evolved and opened up new opportunities for you guys?
It's so different. I hate to be the guy that's like the get off my lawn guy that I'm always like, right. Back in my day. But back when I first started, you went to a game, you watched the game, you took notes, you did interviews, you put a story in. That was it.
Shut it down.
Right? You shut it down. During the game, you watched the game. Now your responsibility is to send tweets and update information and advance stories, right? Because we know what the score is. Give me something more than just the score. It's made it a lot different. It's a lot more time consuming. So I think you have to be really good at balancing the time, right? Knowing you have a certain amount of time. What are you going to do with that time? Because you could go in so many different directions and really kind of lose focus. From that standpoint, to me, and I at an Oriole game a couple of weeks ago, and I'm just watching, and the writers and what they do, it's so different, right? So they'll go pregame and get quotes from Brandon Hyde, and they'll take every quote and turn it into a story and some sort of, and before you'd find one quote, maybe you'd write a pregame story and that would be it, right? The paper comes out later. Or, the internet has just changed so much. And I think trying to figure out what you do with your time is the difference. I see some people that take that time and don't use it wisely, and then the information isn't great, and then you're not interested in it, and people aren't going to read it or follow it. But if you can really be focused, I think that's the key, really.
Well, and two, it's just changed the way we've done our job. So sports, we used to come on at, 10:50, 11:20, and give the highlights. Right. And by that time at night, everybody knows what's happened.
Right, see it on my phone. Yep. Yeah.
So it's made us all think outside the box, be a little more creative. Yeah. But the other positive side with social media is we can now have more of an opinion, right? It used to be we couldn't be biased. We couldn't have an opinion, but now that's what we have to do. We have to find those stories. And then also just, it can be frustrating because we'll try and post things for our show and we'll try and do a funny meme or a cool boomerang video and it doesn't do anything. And then they post a picture of Ellen and I and it gets all the likes. It's like, this is the most unimportant and unexciting part of it. But so we're just trying
that
to pay.
Videos get a lot of views.
That gets more likes and retweets, reposts. Yeah. And we're just like, why? Why do you want just a photo of us? But you have to be open to trying and open to really paying attention. So it's made us all as journalists and in all of our industries, where is the story? How are we capturing the people? It's more than just, numbers and stats. It's about the story now and grabbing the viewer.
Yeah. How have you enjoyed Brent being back on radio? Is that kind of take it back to the, I hate to say old school a little bit, but
it is.
You're
it
sitting
is a little
and,
bit. And it's WBAL, which is right when you talk about old school, I mean, that is a foundational, that is where people go for their news in Baltimore.
Right.
It's interesting. I mean, one of the big differences is I can sort of, you guys are having a podcast and we're going to be at a bar, drink a beer, throwing a polo and a hat. Well, this is how I go to work.
Yeah.
Right. So for TV, it was like, hey, do I have my makeup? Do I have my IFB and all those things? Right.
Anymore,
I just go. I talk sports. That part of it, I feel like the connection to that people can call and text. You don't get that on the TV side. Right. You're doing a story. You're covering a game. If I'm doing play by play, it's like you're focused on the game and that's it. You never pick up social. You don't really interact with fans.
And you have more time to talk now, too. You have more time to fill.
You're talking about a couple hours instead of a couple of minutes that you said, at 10:50, even on Fox 45, maybe we got six. Now you're doing a couple hours. So it is much different. I like the connection to the fans. And I like that our station has both the Orioles and Ravens.
Yeah.
So we are connected to the teams in Baltimore. Right. But it was a big change. But I was excited. It was coming out of COVID. I had not been working a lot, and NBC made a lot of changes. So I think that job, in a lot of ways, because it's Baltimore, because it's BAL, I kind of got a little rejuvenated, for sure.
Well, and I got to say, it's right up his alley, because this man can talk sports and talk whatever you want to talk about for hours. So it's fun for me to tune in and listen and hear him in his element, which has been really fun. And two, I got to tell this story because he was filling in at WBAL TV for Pete Gilbert when he was out. So he was doing weekend sports, filling in for Jerry Sandusky. And even though you've been in the business how long? Like 30 years. But being from here, being from here, like he came home one day and he's like, I was standing at the table and Tom Tasselmeyer is right across from me. Yeah. Like he was still starstruck because you grew up watching these people and they inspired you.
Yeah.
So it's been fun to kind of see.
I may have that opportunity out a little bit because I was like, Tom Tasselmeyer. And he was like, hey.
Yeah. That's
no,
awesome.
It's pretty cool. The people there are great. I think a lot of times, too, is as you get a little bit older, right, you just want to be wanted. You want to feel like you're needed. You want to feel like you're contributing to something, right? And that's a big part of it, for sure.
Well, and also, you know, with the way social media has infiltrated into the media business, it's, and I say that in a positive way, but younger up-and-comers are getting more of an opportunity that we didn't get.
Right.
You know, we're not going to Fargo. They're not going to Fargo, North Carolina, or Podunk, Iowa. Like, they're graduating from the University of Maryland and coming to work right in D.C., in the nation's capital, which I worked years to get to.
Right.
So at first, and sometimes it can still be somewhat frustrating, but just because they're getting those opportunities doesn't mean those opportunities aren't there for us. To your point, Jen, of doing something outside of the traditional radio, TV, doing a podcast, doing what you guys did up at Barstool at Charlestown. Yeah. Like that's what we have to understand as longtime journalists, that it just because we're not on the TV screen or on a radio screen doesn't make us any less important or any less of journalists.
There's so many opportunities now to build yourself into your own personality and then get paid to do that in other scenarios. Yeah.
You have to reinvent yourself because you have to keep your mind open to it. I think to your point, it's still that skill of broadcasting, but how do you do it?
Yeah.
And I remember when the internet was first, again, get off my lawn, guy. I remember when the internet was first started.
When email was invented. Yes,
that's what it was.
Yeah.
And 100%. I remember too when Twitter first started, and so many people in our business, and you were in the business then, you know, the older, I'm not doing that. That's a waste of my time. I don't want to learn it. I don't want to understand it. Those people went away really quickly.
Right.
And you can be 50 or 60 and still learn Twitter and be great at it, right? It's reinventing yourself, but using the skill that you already have.
Yeah, we recently spoke to Tom Levero, who's a good friend of John, and he certainly embraced Twitter and just got to dive in and figure it out. And he's one that's like really, you know, he could just be like, but he's got to.
And he gets his message out too because he works with a lot of different organizations, and so not just the professional side. And you know this because you do a lot of charity work. It's a great way to connect people with what you do and at a charity maybe you want to work with.
Without a doubt.
It's the only way, really. How else are you going to do it? Are you going to take out a full-page ad in the Baltimore Sun?
right?
You're going to get on the internet and use your social.
Yeah, absolutely.
What the core of what we do is PR. We do marketing. We do media buying. We do social media. We do a little bit of everything. I think we'll paint your house if you ask us to, right? We do so much at Maroon PR. But mainly what we do is PR, pitching, right? So you two have very different shows, different mediums, different media types. What do you look for in a pitch? And I know, Kristen, with you, with one of our clients, the interview subjects aren't often in town in D.C., and that can be a struggle at times. And kind of like, okay, well, we have to weigh the value of this versus having them on versus having them in studio, and sometimes you can get them in studio. So what do you guys look for in a pitch for Great Day Washington, WUSA, and for WBAL and your show, Brent?
Well, obviously so different than sports PR. We're dealing with 10 different subjects a day, so to speak. Not that, you know, it's just different. One's not better than the other. It's just different. Post-COVID world has opened up many doors, probably for your clients, but also for us to get people. Like, you know, we'll chat when you've got some incredible performers coming to Charlestown. And yes, they're not going to be in our area, but we'll still grab them for Zoom. If we can get them for Zoom, that's fine.
And occasionally we'll get somebody in studio, which is great.
Every now and then. I mean, we're starting to see more actors, performers traveling again, which has been nice. We had some in last week. We've got some coming in next week. Movie screenings are coming back. So we're getting back to that. But we just had the Capitol Pride Parade in D.C., and I really wanted to talk to Idina Menzel, who was headlining the concert.
Sure.
And, you know, most of the time they're not coming in until, like, the day before an event. So I got her on Zoom. The other thing that we're trying to do is we're kind of tired of Zoom at the same time.
Of course, everybody is. Everybody is.
While it's nice and it opens the door to certain things, most of our pitches that we get now, we respond with, hey, are they going to be in the D.C. area anytime soon?
Sure.
We'd love to get them in for a live interview or a taped interview.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll say, no, they're not planning, but they're open for Zoom. And I just say, well, we're not really doing that right now because we can get plenty of clients in studio.
Right.
I've got some that I'm talking to now. They're going to be in D.C. in mid-July. You know, so we're lucky where we are because New York, Philly, they'll come down for that. But people will travel more than, yeah, that really surprised me, that people will travel for promotion again. But we're trying to actually back away from the Zoom.
Yeah.
Because for one thing, people still haven't figured out this Zoom thing.
So true.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not great.
You're still on mute. Yeah.
And so we won't do live Zooms. Unless it's a tour from like CBS, because we're CBS, we get all the, so it's a live satellite tour, it's professionally done.
Yep.
We won't do a live Zoom from somebody's living room, because you know the moment they pop up, the light's not right, the angle's not right.
Cat runs through, something like that.
Yeah. So we'll tape those, you know, if that's the only option we have, but we're really trying to get away from Zoom, and I think a lot of other people are trying to as well. For us, it's frustrating on our end, and just like, I'm yelling through the camera, like, raise it up a little, but we're also a sponsored show, so some of our clients are only Zoom, and that's fine, but they have made it into a more professional type production, and I think that's the way to get noticed, and that's the way to get to stay virtual and get the interviews that way. When it comes to pitches, like I always say to people, and we all are a little bit different, but I need to know what the story is, not just, hey, this person's coming in town, give me three ideas of what they can talk about. Because right now we get a lot of how to prevent burnout, you know, and it's like, okay, we just did two burnout segments.
Right.
So if you're giving me three pitches, I know your client's got more in them than that. So it's like, okay, well, we've done that, but we could do this or this. It's not just, hey, we've got this great book. You know, the not too detailed, not like a dissertation, but you need to make our job easy.
Yep.
Because we're getting pitches all day long. So we need something that's going to stand out so that we can visualize right away what it is. Even if you're including assets at that point. You know, I don't want to chase after you and be like, do you have the book cover?
Right.
You know,
right,
can
right.
I get some assets? And that happens a lot, and it really surprises me. But make our job
easy.
How easy
it is now to do that, right?
Sure.
Just send me the Google Drive link.
Right.
That's all I
right.
need.
Yeah. Right.
It also helps when they bring food. So I got a picture today, and there was racks of ribs and all this barbecue.
That cooking segment, it's great.
That makes that segment
that.
A little. Oh no, that's part of the deal.
We'll never say no to food.
I think the human interaction, right? If it's say you had a comedian on, and they're going to be coming through DC, if they're on Zoom, it's not the same as having them in studio and then
it's
having
tough.
That interaction, and then that's what people remember. So you have to have the human interaction to it. And I think to your point, I just look for things that. People are interested in it. Like, what's a human interest story?
Yeah.
Again, you can talk all day long about stats and who's in first place, who's playing well, and all that kind of stuff. The analytics of sports. I think the human interest side of sports is way more intriguing. And it also brings in people that are not just the baseball nerd, but also the person who just happens to be tuning in to listen to an Oriole game. And what about maybe... I can tell you about Ryan Mountcastle off the field, to me, is more interesting than maybe what he's doing on the field. So
absolutely.
I just think human interest still is the one thing that kind of connects us all, whether it's, you know, on your show, my show, I don't think it really matters.
Right.
And I'm curious from y'all's perspective of just, you know, as I said, we have different...
See, now you're interviewing us.
I know.
That's right. We knew it was going to happen. We knew it was going to happen. How far in?
Yeah. It took 14 minutes and 38.
Please, fire away.
No, but like, you know, Ellen and I, my co-host and I, we have different beliefs in this. But obviously there's a follow-up. You know, you have to follow up with somebody if you don't hear from them.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a rule of how often you follow up with people? Because sometimes it's like... Oh my gosh, I got it. It's like every day.
From our perspective, we try one or two follow-ups, and if at that point there's no response, then you move on, right? I think where we get a little frustrated at times is just we would much rather someone just reply and say, we're not interested.
Right.
And because, you know, or just, that's it. That's great.
If it's someone we have a relationship with, right. If it's a cold call, then, you know, you don't expect it.
You know, like that to us is just, it helps us then to understand what pitches are resonating, what stories are resonating, what are not.
Sometimes
so that's
it's that follow-up that lands.
So
true.
People
are so busy that they see something and they put it aside, they want to get back to it, right? They have good intentions, but it's that follow-up they go, oh yeah, thank you for reminding me.
It goes back to the pestering. You know, and being mindful that you guys have a ton of
incoming pitches. Right. And
well, and then sometimes too, like, we're just not focused in on that at that moment. Like, we're right. trying to fill the next day's show, or but then if you follow up once, twice, it's closer, and I'll flag emails that I want to follow up on,
yeah.
especially when it comes to, like, you know, if there's a day of the week, right, mm-hmm. or there's
oh,
something.
Sure.
Yeah,
you know,
and if it's, I get that if it's a timely thing, you've got a performer coming, that makes sense because you're yeah. trying to get it figured out. If it's an evergreen type of topic, wait a few days, then maybe follow up. I've got one PR PR woman that's, she has my cell phone. She'll text me, and today she followed up from a couple days ago because mm-hmm. I didn't respond, yeah. which I'm not the best at it. I'll be honest, but she gave me, hey, I've got this client that can come in and do this. Also, July 21st is International Yoga Day. Are you guys looking for something like that? I didn't even know that that right. was happening that day. So little
well
things
done.
Like that, it's
yeah.
like, okay. Oh, and
done.
I, but I told
and that's
yeah.
right. And that's
you just
it's
helped
our
me twice.
Job. We
yeah.
do try to be ahead of that stuff and try to plan.
Yeah.
I also think it's challenging from our perspective to know who. Like, we have a relationship with you, so, you know, we pitch you. But sometimes it's
the and the producer of Great Day Washington
right.
as well.
We
yeah, it depends
the producer
on who. Yeah,
for
yeah.
sure,
yeah.
right. But they're, you know, every outlet's different in that you
right.
pitch the producer, don't pitch the reporter.
True.
You know, so
pitch the assignment
and that,
editor.
Navigating
yeah.
that is certainly a challenge and. You know, we like to think we're good at it.
Yeah.
We know where the relationship is and how
that's
to follow that.
Relationship, kind of go back to,
yeah.
you know, the one that can get one thing done or somebody else that might get something else done or mm-hmm. somebody can push something forward. Like, you
yeah.
know who to contact and how to deal with it.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
My biggest thing to kind of share is we're a team. We communicate. So if you pitch me and I say no, but then you pitch
well,
somebody
oh,
else on
right.
my team, like,
yeah.
they
that's,
we talk about it, you yeah. know, and then that
people,
kind of
right.
puts you on our
yeah.
naughty list
yeah.
for a little while.
Yeah.
So just like we all talk, and some I think are totally innocuous and don't realize it's probably a mass email of some sort, you know, a mailing
yeah.
list. So
yeah.
we understand that. But if you've pitched me something, I'm like, we just don't have time. This doesn't really seem to work. And we've gotten pickier since Zoom. So like, we know what
yeah.
is going to work now. But then you go and pitch one of my producers, it's kind of like, well,
yeah, we,
sorry.
We try to be mindful too of, right?
Yeah.
Like, so we have our lists, right? We have our service that we use,
right?
Ryan's contacts and whatever. And we try to save that for the press releases and the
right.
announcement focus
yes.
types of things,
yeah.
right? And that might have a couple of different contacts from the same station, right?
Right.
But the pitch itself, yeah, should very much be.
That's a one-to-one.
It's a one-to-one.
Very customized.
It's not
yeah.
going,
customize
so,
is the
yeah.
key, because
yeah.
it took me a while to learn that, like, just because it says Kristen at the top,
yes.
they're not writing directly
right.
to me.
Right.
And then I realized,
copy,
oh,
piece.
Yeah, it's just
yeah.
that,
yeah.
like, you can just insert whatever name from the mailing list or whatnot.
Sure.
So for something like a press release, totally get it, understand. If you're really pitching something specific
yeah.
and mm-hmm. everybody else on my team gets it, like, I've had to learn that. Okay, I can spot it now of what's not necessarily a customized email
yeah.
or a personal email to myself.
And I think
I was going to say when we first started to talk, I pitched going to a wedding before we ever were on our
yeah.
first date.
Wow.
And she
oh,
said, I don't know. She was like, that would be fun. I don't know. Guess what? She turned me down. And then I followed up.
You followed up.
I followed up.
With
then,
what? An email
after
or text,
several,
a call?
There were phone calls, a
okay.
few texts.
Okay.
Eventually, though, I did land, right, the first date. And then I did have another. I had the pitch when I asked you to marry me. That was a big pitch.
That's a tough
yeah.
pitch.
And I got that.
I did not turn you down.
You
for
didn't
that
turn
one.
Me down
yeah.
on that
did
one.
Not
so
turn you down.
That was not a text, I assume.
It was not.
Okay.
It was in person. But the pitch is important. The follow-up is really important, too, because I could have easily, over those couple of months, been like, I don't know if this is going to work out. But 2 months later, we did finally go on our first date. So,
well, and you have
and
to
I
follow up with
out.
Me all the time.
Right. I do.
My mind is like
yeah.
a tornado. So it's like,
yeah.
okay, well, yeah.
Calendar.
I know.
Calendar.
I keep
he's
telling
the very
it's color
organized.
Coordinated, which is really important, right?
Thing.
Everybody's color coordinated.
Yeah.
She's purple. I'm brown, I think.
You're
like
brown.
The kids are red.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a color.
Yeah.
I think it really works.
Organization
better.
Is key.
It is.
Well, Kristen, Brent, we really enjoyed this, and we appreciate you guys joining us.
Could talk to you guys for hours.
I know,
yeah, this is great. Yeah, absolutely.
But,
I
will say that, you know, I don't think I set us up very well in the beginning to say that, you know, this season of Spin is a four-letter word is just that we want to sit down, talk about, you know, the industry, but also it's about having a beer with people. And we think the foundation of sitting around, having a beer, having
yeah.
a meal, bringing the personalities back into relationships is super important. And so we thank you for joining us.
Cheers. Thank you for having us.
It's about connections, right? Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Every show should be like this.
Absolutely.
Every show was like this.
I might have to pitch this idea for my show.
There you go.
Thank you for joining us on Spin is a Four-Letter Word. Let's have a beer. If you like what you heard, please send us a tweet. Send us an Instagram message. We'll reply if you want to hear from
call us.
Guests,
we always have that
us,
as well.
Right?
You can call.
Yeah. We'd love to hear ideas and topics to cover, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Spin is a Four-Letter Word. If you like what you hear today, please subscribe. Send us your feedback, too. We want this to be interesting for everybody. And give us a follow at Maroon PR on Twitter and LinkedIn.